We are in a series at the moment on discipleship, and we're looking at different aspects of what being a disciple of Jesus looks like. And so this is the third session that we are going to be looking at today. And I want to look at the process of discipleship. And we're going to look at some of the characteristics of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. And we know that God is working by his Holy Spirit to refine us, and that he's got a plan. Sometimes we can't even see how that this plan is going to work out. But we know that when we commit and surrender our lives to Jesus, and when we're walking in surrender to him, that we can trust that he is actually going to work it out, even though we can't see it. So I'm hoping that this morning some of you are going to be encouraged. Oh, well, I'm hoping you all are going to be encouraged. Some are going to just see, okay, God is working in my situation. God is working through this thing. Maybe I just need to trust my God of the process that I'm going through. So I want us to look at 2 Timothy 2, and I'm going to read from 3:13. So I'm going to read it from the Bible here, but it is a bit small there. But anyway, let's. And actually, I'm going to start at verse 1, so you can read it up there. And it's the title is "Be Strong in Grace." You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and in the things that you've heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Nobody engaged in spiritual warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he completes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer must partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all these things. Remember that Jesus Christ, of the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel, for which I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains. But the word of God is not chained. Therefore, I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. This is a faithful saying. If we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. So we're going to look at the character and some aspects of what it means to be a disciple. Because actually, sometimes it's hard work being a disciple of Jesus. You know that. Sometimes it's easy. Sometimes life throws difficult things at us. And actually, to walk in the ways of holiness and righteousness and forgiveness, sometimes that's a massive challenge, especially when we don't feel like being forgiving to other people. You understand what I mean. But that's what God's called us to do. He's called us to live differently. Yes? Please help me. Yeah. He's called us to live. That's what being a disciple is. We're no longer on our own. We've been bought with a price. We're now under new management. We do what he tells us to do. We're going to go with what our commander-in-chief, what our boss, what our Lord tells us to do. Yeah? So that's a wonderful freedom in that. But also at times, we need to get with the program and say, yes, I'm going to be obedient to what you're calling me to do. So just imagine a factory in the UK, 40 or 50 employees. And the aim of that factory is to produce shoes. And to help the factory become a success, the management invest a lot of resources, and many man hours are put into producing the finest shoes possible. And they get the best materials in to make the shoes. The plant is in operation, and many of the operators and the workers are scurrying to and fro. The machines are running at full blast. The activity is maximum. And then one day, the owner of the company comes, and he asks the question, how many shoes have been produced? And to his surprise, the production manager says, none. And the owner says, well, how long have you been in operation for? And they say, well, we've been in operation for years and years. The factory owner can't believe what he's hearing. You say that you've been in production for years and years, yet you've still produced no shoes. The production manager said, no, but we're very, very busy. There's a lot of activity. So now change the shoe factory and put a cross on top of the building. You know, churches can be a place where there's a lot of activity, a lot of busyness, a lot of things happening. But actually, what is the outcome of what we're doing? What are we called to do? And I know that we don't produce things as such. But actually, there is a role and a purpose and a calling, isn't there, for the church? And part of that is to go and what? Make disciples, to see people saved, and not just to see people saved, but then to grow in that faith walk, to become fully established, committed believers. And I remember Peter Nemhard, he was saying, some of you may remember, he said that picture of a machine that makes oil. Do you remember that? He said, you're just making lots and lots of oil, but the reason that the machine is making lots of oil is so that you can take that oil and oil the machine. And it's just a never-ending cycle of just producing stuff just to keep the thing going. But actually, there's no fruitfulness, no outcome to it. And I believe that God doesn't want us just to exist as a church. Does he? There's a world out there that is dying, and he has a plan and a purpose for something more than for us just to exist. So part of being a disciple, and we can't get away from it, part of being a disciple, we're talking about discipleship, how am I going to be the most effective disciple of Jesus? Part of being a disciple, whether you like it or not, is sharing the message of the gospel so that people can come into this wonderful faith that we have. Are you with me? And the exciting thing is that we're called to go and make disciples of all nations. So that's all colors, all sizes, all peoples. That's what we've done. It's not a small vision. It's not a boring vision. It's not a limited vision. But it's an incredibly exciting and wonderful thing that the calling of being a disciple is upon every single person here if you are a Christian. And part of it is sharing our faith, going to make disciples of all nations, all peoples, all backgrounds, all nationalities, so that they can come to a real faith in Jesus. Part of discipleship is to win people to the Lord or share and then help them grow in their faith. That's what discipleship is. The conversion of a soul, this is from Alan Redpath, who was a British evangelist. The conversion of a soul is the miracle of a moment, but the manufacture of a saint is the task of a lifetime. You know, the getting somebody saved is, we should never lose the wonder of leading somebody to the Lord. But that's just the beginning, isn't it? When we come to the Lord, it's just a beginning of a life of discipleship. And so every single one of us here is in that process of being a disciple. Matthew 28, verse 19. We know this. Jesus came and said, all authority in heaven has been given to me on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. So I'm excited that we've had the opportunity. A small team went out to Hull. The deluxe team are going to Switzerland. We've had the opportunity to go out into Horsham the other week. Wasn't that amazing? To be able to go out into Horsham and do dance and share. And it's all part of what it means to be a disciple. You can't be a disciple and not share what is within you. It's part and parcel of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. I'm really excited that we've seen some breakthroughs in this area this year. So it is a privilege. But it's not just a privilege to receive our Christian faith. It's a duty to transmit it. Are you hearing me? Otherwise, we'll just be that shoe factory. Lots of activity with not a lot of fruitfulness. But I really sense that God has shifted something in the atmosphere and the culture of our church, so that actually we're seeing it now, and we're beginning to see the fruit of that. So it's not just that that we've received the Christian faith, but it is a duty to transmit it. Because actually, if we want to see people saved, we've got to talk to people. I mean, that is not rocket science, is it? If we want to see people saved, then we have to talk about it. And it's so exciting to talk about the hope that we've got. Because nothing and nobody can offer what Jesus can offer. Forgiveness of sins, wholeness, meaning and purpose in life, a hope for eternity, life in this world. I mean, it's just incredible. So let's get out there and do more and more and more of that. So if nothing else from this morning that you pick up, being a disciple means you're going to have to share with people. There was a story of a Christian teacher who was teaching a lesson one Monday morning in a secondary school. And one of the pupils shouted out in front of the whole class, "Sir, what were you doing this weekend?" The teacher replied, "You would be interested." But the pupil asked again, "Sir, what did you do? What have you been up to this weekend?" So the teacher said, "Well, if you want to know, we've been going into the town to do some evangelism. We've been going into the city centre." The pupil looked shocked. He said, "Come on, what did you really do?" And so again, the teacher said, "And we went out into the town to do some evangelism." And the pupil looked a bit shocked, and then a sort of smile came to his face, and he said, "Sir, next time that you go into the town to do some vandalism, can I come?" Okay, so we're going to look at four elements of the scripture that we just read there, and just different aspects of what it means to be a true disciple. So this is talking about character. It's talking about our expectations and also some of the challenges that we may face as well in terms of being a disciple of Jesus. So in verse 4 of 1 Timothy, it says, "No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier." Anybody heard of David Livingstone? Yeah. I had the exciting privilege of being able to go to Zambia and actually went to the town called Livingstone and to go into the museum there and to see Livingstone's cape that Queen Victoria sent him. It's a thick velvet cape, totally impractical for tropical weather. I don't know why she sent that, but anyway, it's there. And you can see the letters that he wrote backwards and forwards. And when I look at these first missionaries and explorers, but a lot of them, their impetus to go was because of a love for the gospel. When I went to Uganda, there's a huge, big abbey there, and I mean, I've shared before that they sent missionaries out, top graduates from Cambridge and Oxford sent them out there. Many of them died and of tropical diseases, and they just sent more, and then some of those died, and they just sent more, and they just kept going until they broke through. So passionate, because they saw something in the gospel. And anyway, David Livingstone and some missionaries in England said, we would like to go to be with David Livingstone. We would like to go to deepest, darkest Africa. So the missions committee wrote to David Livingstone, and they said, some people would like to join you. What's the easiest road for them to get to you? He replied, if they're looking for the easiest road, tell them to stay in England. I want people who will come even if there's no road at all. And I think that is the same for us in one sense. As disciples of Jesus, we've got to face up to the fact that actually part of being a Christian, a disciple, is being that good, faithful soldier that actually is going to come under the authority and the command of the commander in chief. You know, sometimes the Christian life is smooth, and sometimes it's a difficult trek. It feels like we're climbing up a stony hill and never going to get to the end of the top. That's how I feel sometimes when I go out cycling with Roger. Yeah, it's like Roger loves hills, climbing. He's like a machine, is Roger, on his bike. I'm like, are we ever going to get to the top? But then when we get to the top, it's good because we get to come down again, don't we? So there you go. But following Jesus is tough at times. So if you want an easy life, guys, don't sign up to follow Jesus. Because he offers us an amazing life, a life full, a life that is purposeful, a life that has so much meaning, but it's not easy. And if people say it's easy, then it's a false gospel. It is. It is. It's not easy at times, but it's exciting, wonderful, challenging. And it's in those times of stretching that we have a testimony. And do you know what? Going to South Africa is frightening. I'll tell you why. Because those guys are unpredictable. You can be in a meeting and they say, oh, by the way, you're preaching. Which is wonderful. It is not boring. And it keeps you on your toes. But, you know, they want to be led and guided by the Holy Spirit. So I'm going with a lot of excitement about going. But equally, I've got about 10 preaches in the back of my, and I'm seriously praying. I'm actually praying that they won't ask me to preach in the conference or anything, but it's wonderful. But you have to be ready. It's not always easy. So Paul often used many illustrations in his teaching, and the one that we're going to look at today is as a soldier. And you know, he lived under military operation. And at times he was in a Roman prison. We know this. He was under house arrest. He was probably chained to a soldier more than once. And he saw Roman soldiers close up. And so he needed an illustration to draw from about actually what would be a good illustration of characteristics of a committed disciple of Jesus. And he talks about a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So I don't know if you ever thought of yourself as a soldier, but you are a soldier of Jesus Christ in his army. He says, and it's endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Jesus. You know, Jesus was persecuted, but he warns his followers to expect the same. There is going to be some good news, okay? This is not all bad news, this is good news. What is amazing is that persecution is still going on today in other parts of the world, and we hear about it occasionally, don't we? Violence, property taken away, people are denied access to education, people are thrown into prisons, they're not allowed to have a Bible. Caleb's got a poster in his room that says in how many, it's like 40 countries, this poster would be illegal. It just talks about, you know, this gives a scripture. We're very favored to be able to live in this country, not under persecution at the moment. But many people are, but they are not prepared to deny that they are a disciple of Jesus and that they are a soldier of him. Endure hardship with us. Jesus suffered hardship, and the Bible says that actually we will as well as Christians. You know, a soldier is consecrated. It says there in verse 4, nobody serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. So when a Roman soldier joined the army, he took what was called a sacramentum, which was an oath or a pledge. He would pledge to the emperor that when I join your army, I'm actually prepared now to give up my life for you. If I have to fight in a battle, or I have to put myself in a position where I might have to give my life, I'm prepared to do it. That was what a soldier would say in his pledge to the emperor. It was an oath that he no longer lived for himself, but he was living for the emperor now that he served. And that was what a soldier was willing to do for an earthly emperor. And I think it's amazing that Jesus died for us. But what, you know, when we accepted that gift of grace and forgiveness, we know, don't we, scriptures like, you know, we've been bought with a price. We're no longer our own. So actually, who do we belong to now? We belong to our commander in chief. He gave his life for us. But actually, we also have made a commitment to actually follow him, to follow his leading. So when the commander in chief says, attention, we don't just say, hang on, it's a bit uncomfortable at the moment. I'm not really feeling like I want to do that. So in a bit, just chill out. That doesn't happen, does it? When the commander in chief, when he speaks, we jump. And that's the kind of attitude that God is encouraging us to, that we're no longer our own. Actually, we are a disciple is a good soldier. So our objective is not to please ourselves anymore, but it's to please him. Are you with me? We're going to please him. We aren't living for the ordinary things of life, but we now have different values, different attitudes, different priorities. So a good soldier of Jesus is on duty all the time, not just on a Sunday or at life group, but every single day. It's a commitment that we have to Jesus. Okay, we can go to the next soldier. So we have a picture of a soldier, somebody who's dedicated and prepared to do whatever the commander-in-chief says. So there is another picture that we're given of an athlete. So it says, similarly, if anybody competes as an athlete, he does not receive the victor's crown unless he completes according to the rules. So Paul writes about the picture of an athlete, and in his writings there's many kind of analogies and pictures that are given. And at the time, there was the Olympic Games, and they were all important events that were happening in that area of the world. But 1 Timothy 1, it's not on the slide, but 1 Timothy 1 verse 4, I'll just turn to that, 7 and 8. It says, but reject profound and old wives' fables and exercise towards godliness. For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that is now and of what is to come. In other versions, it talks about training yourself. And we talked a little bit about that at the men's camp, about how actually we're called to train ourselves, not just to kind of hope that we will become better Christians, Not just a sort of vague kind of thing. Well, it will just happen by, I'll sort of metamorphosize into this better person. But there's an instruction for us to train ourselves in our walk with the Lord so that we grow and develop. So Paul encourages Timothy, and we're applying this to us as disciples, to obey the rules like an athlete, to work like an athlete, to train. And Christian character is being like Jesus. And we've been hearing a lot about that over the last few days. So we want to practice what we preach. We want to walk the walk, not just be one thing and be something else. Actually, what God wants is honesty. And he wants us to be authentic. In 1988, at the Olympic Games, two great athletes came together. There was Carl Lewis, who was competing against a Canadian world record holder, Ben Johnson. Anybody remember that? I kind of vaguely remember it in the mists of my memory. Anyway, Lewis was the favorite to win, but the race didn't go to plan. Halfway through the race, Johnson was 5 feet in front. Lewis was convinced that he would catch him, but at 80 meters, he was still 5 feet behind him. It's over, Lewis thought, as Johnson crossed the line. Johnson stared back at Lewis, thrust his arms up into the air, and I've put that he made a vulgar gesture. I won't tell you exactly what he did, but he didn't do something very nice. He raised his hand into the air and made a gesture. And even at the end of the race, Johnson refused to go and shake his hand, and he just left the track. So he was a bad sport. He'd won the race. But then came the announcement that Johnson had tested positive for steroids. And he was stripped of his medal. And the gold medal went to Lewis. So even though he thought that it looked like he'd won the race, but actually he hadn't. What's the point of winning the race? So getting into heaven, only to be disqualified later. And I don't mean losing your salvation, but losing your reward. Run well. Run well. God's got so much in store for us. But run well. You are not running the race to please people or to get fame. Why are we running the race for? Why are we disciples? We're running the race to please one person, to please him. We're playing for an audience of one, of him. So easy, isn't it, to be influenced by people's impressions and this and that. But actually, who are we living for? Who are we running the race for? Who are we laying our lives down for? Let's lay our lives down for him. We're just going to please you, Jesus. That's all we want. It takes all the stress, all the hassle away. Okay. Next one. So we're going to look at the farmer. Another picture that is used is a farmer. Okay, we're looking at the process of discipleship. And a farmer, I think, is somebody who shows the greatest level of patience. As I was driving to school with Anya the other day, there was a big, long line of traffic, and I was saying, come on, we need to get her to school. And Anya just looked over to me and said, do you remember Andrew's preach the other week? And I was like, oh, no. I do. It was on patience. Thank you, Anya, for reminding me about that. But why would Paul talk about a farmer in terms of our Christian walk and being a disciple? And a farmer has to work, he has to plant, and then he has to wait. You know, sometimes there's a work that God is doing in our lives as Christians that we may not be seeing the fruit of it at the moment. I want to encourage you, don't be frustrated and don't give up. I think sometimes we're praying for things and we're struggling with things and we're not seeing the breakthrough. But I want to encourage you, don't give up, because a farmer plants the seed and he waits, knowing that there's going to be fruitfulness in the future. And for some of you, there's a work and an activity of God that's going on in your life at the moment that you haven't actually seen the outcome of that yet. And there's a sense that actually, as disciples of Jesus, when we're walking with him and we're trusting in him and we're letting him minister to us, that we just have to wait. We have to be patient, Andrew, to wait for the plant to come up and for the fruitfulness to happen. Does that make sense? And so don't give up. Don't give in. Don't throw the towel in. But let's be those people that are patient. The farmer sows the seeds and he waits and he waits and he waits. And at the right time, he reaps the harvest. And so, you know, I've seen that. You know, being a parent is a wonderful thing, but it can be the most wonderful thing, but it can also be the most difficult and frustrating challenge as well in life. But we're sowing things into our kids. We're sowing things into them that will bear fruit. So be encouraged if you're a parent. Keep sowing, keep doing the right thing, keep investing in them. You know, they will come through in a good way. You know, how many times have we reached out to others and shared the gospel with people? And we do it once and we just think, oh, they didn't become a Christian, I'm just going to give up. You know, it sometimes can take years of reaching out and sharing the gospel with people before people come to faith. I know that I became to faith through the persistent prayers and outreach of others, and maybe you did as well. Patience, sowing the seed, sowing the seed. When's the time right? When are we actually going to receive the fruit of the seed? Do you understand what I'm saying? It sometimes things don't happen instantly. So keep on sowing the seed. Keep being faithful. Keep loving people. Keep sharing. Keep reaching out. Don't give up, because you can't do it. It's a process that God is working. There was a quote, "Lord, give me patience, but hurry." I think a lot of us can be like that, can't we? As I said, as parents, we train, disciple, we guide, we advise. Often we don't see immediate results, but it's the long-term inputting into our children that is going to have results. The farmer had to learn to wait with patience. So the soldier is encouraged to keep on going because of the thought of the final victory. The athlete is encouraged not to give up because of the prize. The farmer is encouraged to be patient because of the promise of the harvest. And there's a last picture that I just want to look at quickly in terms of us being disciples. So which one are you? We're all of them, I guess. Soldier, athlete, farmer. What is it that keeps us going? The last picture is winning the prize. You know, at the end of the race, at the end of our lives, we're going to win the prize, which is to recognize and to receive that eternal life in Jesus. But the endorsement, well done, good and faithful servant. There is a prize, and I was writing this morning, and it's an indescribable thing. I can't even put it into words. An indescribable goal and prize that we're going to receive that's worth it all. That's worth persisting, that's worth hanging in there, that's worth trusting God. It's worth not giving up on God because we're not seeing the breakthrough that we are. It's worth the hardships. He is worth it. He is worth it. That's the prize that we're going for. We're not just doing stuff just because, but there is a beautiful prize that God has for each and every one of us. He's the pearl of great price, isn't he? It's worth giving everything for. So just quickly then, just as I wrap things up, in verse 13, it says, let me just go to that. Is it on there? Oh, yeah. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David. So this is the reason now. This is the prize. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal. I love that. But the word of God is not chained or not bound. When I was prayed for, when I originally went into a ministry, when I first started in the detention center, the message that was spoken over me was, remember Jesus. Can you all say that? That is one of these most profound messages, I think, that anybody has ever spoken over me. In all of the busyness of life and of the strains and things that we go through and the difficulties that sometimes that there are in leadership as well, along with a lot of joys, remember Jesus. Remember Jesus. The reason why we are doing what we're doing is not just because we want to keep busy. Remember Jesus. Why don't you just turn to the person beside you, smile at them, say, remember Jesus. Don't forget the reason why you are a disciple, why you are enduring, what you're going through. It is worth it. He's worth it. He's worth it. He really is. Remember Jesus. Don't forget the very reason and person, what it's all about. It says, if we die with him, we'll live with him. If we endure to the end, we'll rule with him. If we turn our backs on him or reject him, it says he'll turn his backs on us. If we give up on him, he does not give up on us, for there's no way he can be false to himself. Remember Jesus. Okay, let me just wind this up. So Paul, he used various pictures to encourage and inspire Timothy, and he wants us to recognize actually that discipleship, there's so many different aspects to being a disciple of Jesus, a soldier, an athlete, a farmer. So firstly, a disciple is somebody that shares their faith. Yes? That is part and parcel of what it is. Because we want people, there's a command, we've received, but there's a command for us to go and share with others. Being a disciple means at times we're going to suffer or endure hardships, but actually we're doing it because of the prize that's set before us. We're going to be honest and truthful. We're going to live in a right way. We're going to be patient. We're going to let the process of what God is working within us take place. And I really want to encourage people today that maybe have lost heart or are frustrated even. God, what are you doing? Have you kind of somehow forgotten, me? I feel that maybe, you've given me all of these different promises and or I was imagining that you were going to do this, but I haven't seen it come about. Set yourself in the plan and purposes of God. Be faithful. Trust him. God is at work and will bring it through. And we're going to overcome through reliance on Jesus. So the last one was about the victor. We're going to overcome. We're going to overcome because we're seeing the prize that there is in God. We've got a promise of eternal life, unexplainable, indescribable experiences that God has got planned for us. Now, eye has seen nor ear has heard what God has got in store for those that love him. It's just the thought of what eternity is going to be like. We were singing that, 10,000 reasons for my... What's the words? 10,000 reasons for my heart. Defined. Yeah. Sing, find. Find, sing. Anyway, lots of reasons. Why we can take hope. Can we all stand together? So there were just some things that I felt God today just remind me of. And so one of those was for anybody here that has felt like giving up. And I just, by the Spirit of God, I just want to say to you, God would reach out to you in his compassion and his love and say, don't give up. He hasn't forgotten you. You're not overlooked. Don't lose heart. Continue in that life of being a disciple of Jesus. Continue in that faithfulness of following him, knowing that he's at work, that there's going to be fruitfulness, that God is in the process of developing in your life. Also, so that might be one person or several people. Also want to just to say, take courage. Take courage. You know, sometimes it takes courage to do the right thing. It takes courage to be obedient to what you feel the Holy Spirit is telling you. But actually, you have no other choice as a Christian. You can either, I guess, be in rebellion or you can be in obedience to God. But take courage, step out, be obedient to what God is calling you to do. Sometimes the most, God places things in front of us that it just looks impossible. But actually that first step of obedience, stepping out, and then you start to see, okay, this is where God's leading me. This is where God's taking me. This is how God's going to provide. This is where the provision is going to come. So take courage. And just thirdly, remember that God is committed to a process. So be patient. You know, sometimes we can be frustrated, but actually let's be patient. But let's comply with him. Maybe God's been working on your character and we're just saying, no, 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 I don't want that. And God's just going to consistently continue just to keep reaching out. And I want to encourage you to comply with God. To comply with what he's asking you to do. Remember that God is committed to a process, so be patient. Father, Lord, thank you that you've called us to an amazing life, an amazing walk. I thank you, Father, for the journey that each and every one of these people have been on. And I thank you, Father, for what you're going to do in the future. It's just amazing, exciting. And I pray, Lord, that through this series that we're doing, Lord, you would deepen our level of understanding, our commitment to you. Lord, I thank you that we're called to be your disciples, to be those that reflect who you are, Father. That we can be life to the world by the Spirit within us. And I pray, Father, that you would just work, God, to a deeper and deeper level of your conviction of your Spirit, Lord, within us, that you'd refine us. I pray this morning that you would, Lord, encourage those, Lord God, that are struggling, those, Lord God, that are frustrated, Lord, those, Lord God, that may not understand, Lord, what's happening, but I thank you that we can put our trust and our faith in you. Lord, it's an amazing walk. And we just want to say, Father, thank you for revealing yourself to us. We're going to finish with a song, but if there's anybody here that would like prayer or ministry, you know, maybe you're one of those people that has lost heart. Maybe you're somebody that has need someone just to stand with you and encourage you today. Maybe you just need somebody to stand with you and pray and see that breakthrough because you haven't seen it yet. just someone to stand with you and say, yeah, God is in the process. God's working. We'd love to pray for you. So there'll be leaders out the front here to pray, to minister, and to stand with you. Amen.